We're going to get into the Word this morning. I got a little bit of a longer message today. I tried to break it down because, you know, as I told you last week, we got a late start on Advent, teaching about Advent. And so I'm going to do two today. Last week, we lit the hope candle, and today we are going to light the peace candle and the joy candle to get caught up, okay? So, how many of you love Christmas? Yeah, for me, I know I love the decorations. I love to go around and look at the Christmas lights and all the decorations. But I want to be really clear about something. I don't like putting them up, and I don't like taking them down, okay? I just like to look at them. I'm not the guy that wants to get out there and put them up. I'm the guy that wants to just look at them. And then I'm also the guy that whenever Miss Shelley takes them down out of the house, I'm like, well, why doesn't our house look so good anymore? You know, it looks so empty. But, you know, as I drive around and as I look at all the decorations everywhere, one word in all these decorations seems to stand out to me. I don't know if it does to you, but it stands out to me, and that word is peace. I love whenever I see the word peace all around. And that raises a question for me during this Christmas season is, why do we see peace everywhere, but we don't feel peace in our hearts? Especially when it was, you know, Jesus who is the one that promised his peace. He said this to his disciples in John 14:27. He says this. He says, "Peace I leave with you." And I want you to understand, not just any peace, but he says, "My peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives." And so this is a different kind of peace that he's talking about. This is a peace that can only come from heaven. And he says, "I do not give like the world gives." And he says this, "Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." You see, Jesus, he promised us his peace. And yet, for many people, I think it's more common to feel anxiety than it is peace, right? And so when we look at things, it doesn't take long to figure out why that can happen to us, right? I mean, you know, you can pick up your cell phone and next thing you know, you're reading about wars and rumors of wars. And then there's the bird flu and UFOs and all kinds of things. And then, you know, with the inflation and everything, the prices of things, it's even harder to afford all those Christmas presents that you want to buy. And not to mention, you still have to find a place for the elf on the shelf, right? You know, and all that hustle and bustle and all those things going on. And so how do you do it all? And so Jesus says, he's given me his peace. And sometimes in all that craziness, I just want to say to Jesus, I'm like, Jesus, if you gave me your peace, I must have misplaced it. Or if you gave it to me, you know, I'm not sure that you did. I just can't find it sometimes. And so that makes me ask this question this morning. Is this promise of peace still a promise for today? And the answer is yes. The answer to that is yes. Pray with me, if you would, as we pray over God's word today. Father, I pray that today that your word would do a healing work in our hearts today. Father, I pray especially for those who are here today that may be overwhelmed with worry. And I pray that your Holy Spirit today would just draw us close to you. And Father, may we find that peace that only you can give. And it's through your word today, God, that you will speak to us, I pray. In Jesus' name, and everybody says, amen. Amen. So we are in this message series about the Advent, and if you missed last week, we found out that the Advent is something that's been going on for centuries, right? And people have been preparing their hearts to celebrate the first coming of Jesus for centuries before he was born. And we also celebrate and we look forward to the second coming of Jesus and for his return. And so last week we lit the very first candle and we lit the hope candle. And so today we're going to light the next two candles and get caught up. And then the next Sunday, what we're going to do is we'll light the love candle. And then on Christmas Eve, we'll end up lighting the white candle for our Christmas Eve service. And so right now, we're going to light the peace candle. I want to come over and light this one. There it is. All right. And so I'm believing that the Holy Spirit this morning is going to give us his peace to those of us that need it so desperately. If you need some peace this morning, would you just say, I need some peace?
I need some peace.
I know I need some peace. Well, let's look at God's word and let's let him speak to us through his word, okay? For centuries before the birth of Jesus, people were waiting on the birth of a Savior. And then when the time was just right, remember, last week we read that in Galatians 4:4, it says, at the exact right time, God sent his Son. And then we know that the angels announced the birth of Jesus, and the angels proclaimed it in Luke 2:14. It says this, it says, glory to God in the highest. And say this with me, and peace on earth. You see, this was not the first time that Jesus was described as the one who was going to bring peace to us. In fact, if you go back 700 years before Jesus was born, something known as the Messianic prophecy happened. And Isaiah prophesied in Isaiah 9:6, this is what he says there. He says, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And then the prophet goes on and he gives Jesus four titles, and I want us to read those. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Amen. So in other words, Jesus does, he doesn't just promise us his peace, but he actually is our peace. Amen. And so if Jesus comes as the Prince of Peace, what does that mean for you and me? What kind of peace does Jesus give? Well, the Prince of Peace gives us two kinds of peace this morning. First of all, he gives us peace with God. And secondly, he gives us the peace of God. Those are the two kinds that he gives. And so peace on earth, he starts with peace with God. And this is a really important thing for us to remember. Because, you know, around Christmas time, we talk about Jesus being born of a virgin and conceived by the Holy Spirit. Why does that matter? Why does that matter to us? You see, it matters more than you can even imagine, because when it comes to having peace with God, we have to understand that if Jesus had not been conceived by the Holy Spirit, but instead if he had had an earthly father, then he would have inherited a sin nature of his earthly father, because all of us have sinned, right? We don't even have to teach a baby how to sin, right? They look at something, they say, mine. And, it's because, you know, that selfish nature, that sin nature is within us when we're born. And so Jesus was born of a virgin, and so he didn't have a sin nature. But instead, he was born without sin. And that's why Jesus could be the perfect sacrifice for you and me. And that's what Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:21 when he says this. He says, God made him, talking about Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. You see, on the cross, Jesus was the Lamb of God who was slain for our sins. And so if right now you're doing life outside of the will of God, you're not living for him, and you don't feel this peace of God, let me try to explain to you, and I don't want to use my words, I want to use God's words this morning. And so using God's word, let me try to explain this. You can have peace with God because God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, Jesus. That whosoever, and what that means is it doesn't matter how dark your life has been. It doesn't matter what you've done. But it says, whosoever believes in him, talking about Jesus, would not perish, but have eternal life. So why did God send his son? He didn't send it to condemn the world, but he sent Jesus to save the world. And the Word of God also says to you and I, it says, if you confess your sins, God is faithful and just to forgive you of all your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So according to Romans 8:1, if we look at 8:1, it says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So if you're in Christ Jesus, Scripture says you're a new creation. The old is gone, and that God will not hold all of your sins and all the things that you've done. He won't hold those against you because Jesus, the Prince of Peace, he gives you peace with God when you accept him. And not just peace with God, but he also gives you the peace of God. In Isaiah 26:3, it says this. Isaiah is saying this about God, okay? He says, you will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you and all whose thoughts are fixed on you. See, he's talking about God here. So you could replace that word you with God. So it could read like this. God will keep in perfect peace all who trust him, all whose thoughts are fixed on God. So now what does that mean for you and I to be kept in perfect peace? It means that it's a perfect and an unbroken peace. It means complete well-being, if you will, both inward and outward. And I don't know about you, but I need some perfect peace this morning, this whole Christmas season. Amen. So now you and I, we might think sometimes when we read something like this or hear someone talk about this, you might think, well, if I have this perfect peace, then I'm not going to have any more problems ever again. That's not what I'm saying. I hate to break it to you. But sometimes I think that you have to actually have problems to recognize that you have peace in the middle of your problems. Amen. And it doesn't mean that nothing's going to break. It doesn't mean that your kids are never going to fight. It doesn't mean that you and your wife are always going to agree, right? But what it means is as we get to know Jesus, the Prince of Peace, that we can discover that peace isn't found in the absence of problems, but peace is found in the presence of God. And so we need to have that perfect peace. We need to get into the presence of God this holiday season. And the Bible calls it in the New Testament, it says that it's a peace that passes understanding. So how do you experience that perfect peace? I want us to go back to Isaiah 26 again, and because I think that this is important. It says, God will keep in perfect peace. Who does he say he'll keep in perfect peace? All whose thoughts are fixed on him. And so when I went and I looked at the Hebrew word of fixed, it's the word samach. And it means to lean completely on. It means to fully rest on. So in other words, you'll be kept in his perfect peace, all whose thoughts are leaning on God. So let me ask you a question about this. When people fall, which way do they fall? Down. Most people say down, but research is very conclusive that 100% of the time they fall in the direction that they're leaning. I got you, didn't I? I got you. All right. They fall in the direction they're leaning. So what I would want to ask you this morning is which way are you leaning? Are you leaning on the truth of God's word? Or are you trying to lean on your own ability? In your own knowledge, in your own wisdom. Because you see in Proverbs 3:5, it tells us, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And in all your ways submit to him, or in all your ways lean on him, and he will make your path straight. You see, this is powerful to me. We don't need to lean on our own logic, on our own understanding, but we need to lean on the truth of God's word. In all your ways, know him. In all your ways, let his word be your truth in your life. Lean on the goodness of God this morning. Lean on his promises. And in all your ways, surrender yourself to him. Lean on him, and you'll get that peace of God this Christmas season and forever and ever if you'll continue to lean on God's word. Amen. Now for a few moments, I want to talk about the joy candle. You know, we're going to focus on the Advent story here, And it's found in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. And we're going to read those to you today. I normally don't read this much scripture, but we're going to because it's all about Advent and tells us what it's about. It says, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause,'" say this with me, great joy for all the people. "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly, get that word, suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests." And when the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." And so they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Now, earlier we lit the peace candle, and right now I want to light the joy candle. You're going to notice something about the joy candle. Maybe you can see it from there. But the joy candle is pink, and that actually represents a change in tone from a somber tone about the birth of Jesus and his coming to a rejoicing. And that's why it's pink, is because it represents rejoicing. So now we're not talking about the somber things of Jesus' birth, but we're talking about rejoicing, and we're preparing our hearts for the coming of our Savior. Let's pray over this candle if we could. Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for the joy that you can be in our hearts if we'll focus on you. And joy, and Lord, I pray that joy would fill this place today. Lord, let the joy of the Lord be our strength today. And through this Christmas season, I pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Well, you know, for me, I can't talk about joy without telling you about my kids' teacher whenever I was in church. And her name was Sister Billy Ayler. And she was also Shelley's teacher whenever she grew up in the Borger Church there. And one of my favorite things that Billy used to do is Sister Billy would say, on your birthday, she'd bring out this big old bowl of pennies. And you could reach in there on your birthday and you could get as many as your hand would hold, you know, and you'd try to scoop them out and get all the pennies you could. And I know that doesn't seem like much today, but back then it was penny candy. You know, you can't buy anything for a penny anymore. But that was one of my favorite things that she did. And Sister Billy also, I'm going to tell you, she could work a felt board like nobody's business. She could make that felt board look like an IMAX movie. And it was amazing to watch her do it. But it was also kind of funny too, because I think our church must have had some budget cuts, because you know Joseph was also Abraham and Moses and sometimes David, you know. But she made it work somehow. But I also remember about Sister Billy is that she would always have this song, sing this song. And you guys know I'm not a very good singer, but I'm going to do it for the embarrassment of the Lord here this morning. It says, "I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where down in my heart? Where down in my heart? I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay." I can see that some of y'all had Sister Billy too. Some of y'all had Sister Billy as your teacher as well. But you know that song, it goes on and it says, "I got the love of Jesus down in my heart." Then it goes on, it says, I got the peace that passes understanding down in my heart. It goes on and it explains a whole lot more. And here's the thing about the joy of the Lord. I think what you and I want to know when we walk through this season, all this hustle and bustle of Christmas, is I think for us the big question would be is, how do we keep the joy? How do we keep this joy? Well, the answer is actually in that little song. It's down in your heart, and it's there to stay. You see, we can experience His joy. And I know firsthand this that Christmas season can be tough. Maybe it's hard to have joy this Christmas because just like us, your gift list is a little bit shorter this year. And you're missing that person because they're no longer with you. Or maybe you feel alone because you have a broken relationship, or maybe it's you're like some of the people that I've talked to, and they say, you know, I can be at a Christmas party in a crowded room, and I can still feel lonely in a crowd. Well, today I want you to know that many of the Bible characters that you and I read about, that we study, they understand exactly what we're talking about this morning. And I mean, can you imagine, let's just talk about Mary and Joseph for a moment. You see, here's Mary and Joseph, and they're living in this little town of Nazareth, and it's a really small town. And the Bible says that all of a sudden the angel Gabriel appears to Mary, and he says, hey, you're going to have a baby. And then so here's Mary, and she has to go to Joseph and tell her fiance, hey, I'm going to have a baby. And I can only imagine how difficult that was for Joseph. And so Joseph, he hears this, and the angel comes to him and helps Mary explain this to him. And so he gets over his disappointment and his fear of what happened, and he understands that this is of God. And so, you know, him and Mary, I can imagine they start talking and they start trying to figure it all out. And I can guarantee you this. In that little town, I'm sure that the rumors grew faster than her belly did. You know, so people were talking about them, and they're trying to figure this out. And they're thinking, what are we going to do? And so maybe they started trying to make plans like, hey, Mary, maybe we could have the baby over at your mom's house. You know, maybe we could go there and have the baby, or maybe between now and the time the baby arrives, maybe I'll land a good job and I'll be able to get us a place of our own. So they start making all these plans, but then they get their plans made, whatever they were, and then their plans get totally wiped out because Caesar Augustus declares that he's going to take this census of the whole Roman Empire. And so now everybody in the empire has to go back to the place of their original heritage. And so Joseph, being of the line of David, he had to go back to the city of David, a.k.a. Bethlehem. And so he goes back to Bethlehem, but there's this big problem. Bethlehem's 90 miles away from where they're at. And I can guarantee you there's no woman that's ever been pregnant that says, hey, I want to go on a 90-mile journey on the back of a donkey, you know. And I can also promise you there's not a wise man out there anyway that's willing to take that lead rope and lead her that 90 miles, stopping at every bush along the way, you know. I mean, it's just not what they imagined it would be. But I can also imagine as they're walking and they're getting closer to Bethlehem that they might have been able to see the palace of King Herod over in the distance. And I'm imagining like how Shelley and I sit and talk sometimes. And I can imagine Joseph as he's leading, he says, hey, Mary, what do you think? You think since this is going to be God's son, this is going to be the King of Kings, maybe somebody's going to pop out of that palace and they're going to come over and say, hey, come, we've got a room for you. We've got a place for you to stay. And the baby's going to be born in a palace. And then I can imagine them as they get in there and they walk by the palace and nobody comes out. Nobody offers them anything. So Joseph, if he's like me, he's always trying to give hope. And so he probably looks at Mary and says, well, you know what, Mary, with this being God's son, maybe just somebody we don't even know, They're just going to, he's going to send us somebody and they're going to say, hey, come to my house. Come to my house and stay. We'll feed you. We'll take care of you. You can have your baby there. And as they get almost to the gates of the city, nobody has approached them. And so they start entering into the city, and I'm sure Joseph is thinking, he's trying to think, how much money did I put in my pocket? And do I have enough? And so he goes, he says, you know what, Mary's going to be okay. We're going to go to the inn, and we'll stay in the inn. But you know the story like I know the story, that there was no room in the inn. But thank the Lord that the keeper of the inn said, but hey, you can have your baby out there where I keep my animals. And I can guarantee you this was not what Mary and Joseph had planned, to have a baby in a barn full of cows and chickens and whatever other kind of animals that they might have had. That's not what Mary thought it would be like when God told her, you're going to have my son and he's going to be the Savior of the world. And maybe this Christmas season you find yourself in a mess of unmet expectations too. And if that's you, I want you to take heart this morning, because things can change suddenly. You see, it might be that you're in a tough season or even in a tough relationship. Maybe you're in the middle of years of unanswered prayers, or maybe you're just trying to get this addiction off your back that you've been trying to break free from. But I want you to take heart this morning, because things can change suddenly. We see it happen in Scripture several times. I want to show you a few places. If you look at Acts chapter 2, the Bible tells us that, and they're talking about the Pentecost, the day of Pentecost, it says that suddenly a sound like a mighty rushing wind came from heaven. Or if you read over in Acts chapter 9, when you're reading about Saul, when he's traveling over to Damascus, as he's going down the road, the Bible says that suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. And then if we look at the story that we're talking about today, Luke chapter 2, the story we read just earlier, the Bible says, suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel. And I believe that somebody here today needs to know that your circumstances can change suddenly if you'll turn to Jesus this morning. You see, Advent brings an expectation and a longing for God to speak into our brokenness and into our loneliness during this season, and that the joy of the Lord would suddenly fill our hearts. That's my prayer for us this morning. But can I tell you that there's a very big difference, a fundamental difference between joy and happiness. And I want you to see the difference. You see, happiness is an emotion, but joy is a choice. It's not the same excited feeling that you get whenever your favorite team wins their game and you go around high-fiving and getting all excited. That's happiness. But joy is actually a choice. And I want to explain some of it with Scripture today. I want to illustrate it with Scripture today. If you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 7, it says, in all our affliction, I am overflowing with joy. That sounds messed up to me, doesn't it to you? You know, in affliction, I'm overflowing with joy? That doesn't make sense to my little mind. And neither does this one. When we look at Colossians 1, you can read in there, it says, now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. That don't sound right either, does it? Let's look at James 1 and 2. It says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Man, I have to ask myself, what's wrong with these guys? You know, do they not know what happiness is? But ever when we start to look at these guys, we understand that, yeah, they know what happiness is, but they know what joy is even better. And it's different. You see, joy is not an emotion, because if it were, then these scriptures that I just read you, they couldn't be true. Joy is a choice to fix our eyes on our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we see this in Hebrews 12:2, whenever we see the scripture that is painted about the picture of Jesus himself. It says this, it says, "Look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." What's joyous about the cross? I can't think of anything joyous. I mean, how is being crucified with spikes running through your hands and your feet and dying a suffocating death? How is that joyous? To me, I don't see anything joyous about that. But the scripture says this. It says, "For the joy that was set before him." You see, Jesus wasn't focused on all the other stuff. Jesus was focused on you and on me. His joy, it came in knowing that he was making a way of forgiveness for us. And that's what drove Jesus to the cross. You see, Jesus looked past all those circumstances, all the pain that he was going to endure. He did all of that because he had made a decision to focus on joy. He made a choice for joy. And you see, our joy doesn't come from our circumstances, but it comes from our focus on Jesus and his love for you and me. And I want you to think about this for just a second, because we know we spend a lot of time and energy trying to be happy and find comfort in our life, don't we? But I want us to understand this morning that to understand the greatest enemy of joy isn't pain, but it's distraction. It's distraction. You see, and during the Christmas season, the reason you can feel burned out and hurt and all the things is because what happens is we begin to focus on all the other stuff, our gift list and the presents that we need to buy and all the things that we need to get done for this party or that party. And we end up and we lose our joy when we lose our focus on Jesus. I think one of the biggest mistakes that we make is not seeing the joy in the moment sometimes as well. You see, we let our one days rob us of our two days. Like one day when I get married, or one day when I'm healed, or one day when I have more money, or when my spouse finally agrees with me on everything. One day. And it'll rob you of your today. Some of us, we let our yesterday. If only I had savored the moment, or if only I'd done this, or I'd have done that. If I hadn't have done this, or I hadn't have done that. If only. And sometimes our yesterdays start to mess up our todays as well. You know, a few weeks back, I was at a funeral. And whenever I was there, they started showing the video of a bunch of the pictures of this person. And as I started watching that video roll by, I thought, I wonder if they knew that that picture was going to show up on their funeral camera roll. But then I thought about some of the pictures. I thought, I wonder if they saw the joy in that moment, or if they were just existing. Did they see it? I can tell you that this was so impactful for me. Now every time I pull out my phone and I start to take one of these, I start to think, and I want to pause for a moment when I take that picture. Am I finding the joy in this moment, or am I just doing this mindlessly, not thinking, not caring? You see, there's joy in every moment that we have. And whenever I got home that day, I started looking through some of these memory books that Shelley has made up for us about places that we've gone and things that we've done, and started looking at those as well and thinking, did I capture every moment of joy? And then I looked. I looked at a picture of my grandson. It seems like he's been gone forever. He hadn't even been gone a year. I thought about the moments of joy that I had with him. I thought about the moments of joy that I won't have with him. But I thought, did I make the most of it? Or did I let all the busyness and all the other things keep me from having joy? So how do you and I, how do we walk through a hard and difficult season like this? During the Advent, we can be hurried and it can be hectic, and all the hustle and bustle that comes with Christmas. But I just want you to remember that little song. We got the joy, 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 joy. Because when you have the love of Jesus in your heart, you're not being distracted, but you're focused on his love. You're focused on his grace and on his mercy. This Advent season, my prayer is that you'll focus on the baby in the manger, born in Bethlehem, destined to die on a cross. And when you focus on him, you can have hope. When you focus on him, you can have peace. And you can most certainly have joy this morning. Would you stand with me, please? My prayer this morning is that we would be able to find ourselves this season not being distracted by all the things that could be, but to truly focus on Jesus this Advent season and all the things that are, all the promises that he's given us, all the things that he is to us today. You see, he's more than our hope and more than our peace and more than our joy. He's here today as our deliverer. He's here as our redeemer to redeem us from our sins and to set us on solid ground so that we can walk and live with him for the rest of our lives. If you're here this morning and you're just having a hard time through this Christmas season and you don't feel like you got any peace or hope or joy, this morning I want you to focus on Jesus and what he did for you and for me so that we could have life and have life more abundantly. How Jesus went to the cross. He was born to die for you and I. And through that, it brought joy to him knowing what he was providing for me and you. He was providing a way for us to live with him in heaven forever and ever and ever. And this is a gift that he gives us. It's not something you can earn, something you can buy, something you can do to get. The only thing you have to do is receive it, because it's a gift.